أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: ويقول الذين كفروا لست مرسلا قل كفى بالله شهيدا بيني وبينكم ومن عنده علم الكتاب. صلاة الله. These are the nights of the great Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam al-Muttaqeen, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. This is the majlis between the majlis of Zarbat and Shahadat, where the theme that I've selected is the theme of, you know, Ali in the words of Ali. But tonight, there is a slight change. It is a theme which is close to the topic that I had announced. But another important issue is that in the last few years, more than 10 years now, there's this majlis between the Zarbat and Shahadat. I recite that entirely in English. This was actually best on the request of some of the youths more than 10 years ago. They would like to even hear the Masaib in English. I'm not that at ease with that, but sometimes I do that. In the last 1 year, you have seen that the Urdu part of my speech is also, you get the subtitle on the screen. But tonight, inshallah, we'll try to go with the English Masaib. Although the individuals who actually specifically asked for it, I don't really see them these days. But we'll keep that with that tradition. What I would like to talk about Amir al-Mu'mineen tonight is, you know, what was the wish of Amir al-Mu'mineen? When we, you know, look at the purpose of life, each one of us wants to attain something. And whenever we attain something, there is always something even above and better than that. In Islamic value system, you know, we are told that whatever good that you do, there is always a room to improve on that, to do something even better than what you have been able to do. Except when you reach to the state of shahadat. Because that you can't do anything more. And shahadat is actually that ultimate achievement that a person, a mu'min, can have. And so if you look at this process of shahadat in the life of Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, we know that death is inevitable. There is no exception for any human being. Not even the greatest of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his most beloved Rasul, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Even he was not exempted from that process of death. But however, we know that death has different ways. You know, many people die a natural death, either because of, you know, they die on the bed, because of illness or long, you know, old age. But there is also one form of death which is known as death in the service of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is known as shahadat, martyrdom. When a person gives up his life or he is killed for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we call him shaheed. It's interesting that the word shaheed, you know, even this ayah that I recited, kafa billahi shaheedan baini wa bainakum. O Muhammad, when this kuffar tell you that you are not a rasul, tell them, you know, as far as the witness for my risalah is concerned, it is sufficient that Allah is my witness and wa man indahu ilmul kitab, and the one who has the absolute knowledge. And this is, here you see the word shaheed has been used for Allah as well as for the other witness. And the shaheed here is in the meaning of witness. You will see that in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't use the word shuhada. He uses the word alladhina qutilu fi sabilillah, those who were killed in the way of Allah. Qatil is used more. Shahadat and shaheed is used in the meaning of witness. And the reason is that the person who is actually being killed, or he gives up his life, he actually is going to be the witness of the state of the Ummah at that time, and he will be the witness on the day of Qiyamah against the oppressors and the zalimeen who brought about his end. And so that shahadat itself is a very powerful, you know, element. It's more like, you know, you look at the example given by somebody who became a shaheed himself, Allama Murtaza Mutahhari. And he was killed just because of his ideas. They couldn't respond to it, so this is where they use bullets. And, you know, it's really that they targeted not his heart. They actually shot him from a very short distance, where the bullet actually went from just behind the ear coming out from the other side. So it was his brain which was targeted. And he has a speech on this issue of shahadat, and he gives a very good example. He says, shaheed is like a candle. Look at the function of the candle. The room is dark, you put the candle there, you lit it, and what happens? That candle starts giving light. It enlightens the surrounding area. People now can see. He becomes the witness of what is haq and what is batil. But in that process, while the candle is lit and it is giving light to the room, the candle itself gradually, you know, goes down and down and down until it will end. So Shaheed actually, by giving his life, is clarifying the issues. You look at the issue of Karbala. If anyone still has any problem with the issue of Khilafat and Imamat, they are confused with the ayat of Quran or the different interpretation or the ahadith of Rasulullah about it, well, then go to Karbala. The shahadat of Karbala will become Furqan for that person. He will be able to know very clearly what is haq and what is batil. Then from Karbala, you can go historically back and see, you know, what caused this massacre as far as the family of the Prophet is concerned. So shahadat itself is a very powerful, you know, phenomenon. And when it comes to Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali was never, ever afraid of dying. Death was not an issue that anybody can, you know, threaten Amir al-Mu'mineen on this issue. Salawat. There was an incident after the events of Saqifa, where Abu Sufyan, who was not part of this discussion and debate or the infighting in Saqifa about Khilafat, because Abu Sufyan and the Umayyads were very weak during the early days, during the last days of the Prophet's life. After the conquest of Makkah, they came into Islam because of the circumstances. So Rasulullah did not really give them much of importance or preference. So they were not even part of the equation to see whether a Khalifa would be from them or not. And so he then comes to the door of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He calls him, and Ali comes outside. He says, what is it? He says, I know. Khilafat is your haq, your right. And I'm willing to support you. You stand up for your right, and I'll fill the streets of Medina with horsemen, fighters for you. Amir al-Mu'mineen knew that he is not sincere. He's actually just trying to take advantage of this chaotic situation in the Ummah for his own, you know, advantage there. And so Amir al-Mu'mineen turns him away. But at least, as I said, you know, even Abu Sufyan those days knew where is haq. People who say maybe Rasulullah didn't make it explicit or clear, well, go and ask Abu Sufyan. He will, you know, clarify things for you. And so when Amir al-Mu'mineen refused, Abu Sufyan was a shrewd politician. Wouldn't let it go. So he's actually tried to use a psychological, you know, approach, because he knew that Ali had utmost respect for his father. So then he now doesn't address him as Ali. He says, I didn't know that the son of Abu Talib is afraid of dying. He's trying to provoke him. You know, his emotions there. And this is where Amir al-Mu'mineen utters these words, which he has said in different contexts, different times, where he says, Wallahi ibn Abi Talib, la'anisun bil al-maut min al-tifl bi-sudi ummihi. By Allah, this son of Abu Talib is more at ease with death than an infant baby is with the breast of its mother. You know, don't think that I'm afraid of dying. No, but I know your motives. Go away. So as far as Amir al-Mu'mineen is concerned, you know, for him, death was not something that he would fear. But if you ask Amir al-Mu'mineen, what is the preferred way of dying? He would say, it's a shahadat, to become qatil fi sabilillah. In the battle of Uhud, this is the second battle after Badr, when the Muslims initially gained victory, their victory was taken away, snatched from them because of this surprise counterattack from the cavalry force of the Mushrikeen of Mecca, who came from behind. There was a mountain passage where Rasulullah has stationed 50 archmen there with a commander with instructions not to leave their position under any circumstances. Whether on the ground you see the Muslims being killed or they are becoming victorious, you maintain your positions because there was a danger they would come from behind. And when they saw the archmen, you know, on the mountain passage there, when they saw the mushrikeen running away, and the Muslim going around and gathering whatever they could get from the mushrikeen. At that time, these archmen said, well, you know, we might lose out in Mali Ghanimat, in the booty of the war. So they started moving from their position. The commander told them, we have been instructed to stay here. Stay put, irrespective of what is going down. But they didn't listen to him. This is where Khalid bin Walid, the cavalry commander of the Meccan forces, who did not join the fight initially, he saw this opportunity, and this is where he comes from far away and then attacks them from behind. And this is where the Meccans were fleeing away, they turned back. And so the Muslims were now caught from both directions. And many, you know, at that time, many prominent Sahaba actually ran away, went onto the mountain to, you know, save themselves. Very few of them actually were steadfast, stood their ground, and protected Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Of course, Ali was the foremost among those defenders of Rasulullah. And it's that moment that you hear this cry from the heaven, La fata illa Ali, la sayfa illa Dhulfiqar. This came at that incident at the time of the Battle of Uhud. Later on, when, you know, things settled down and the Muslims started looking at their losses, you know, they realized that one of the shuhada at that time was Hamza, the uncle of the Prophet. And this is where now gradually, not exactly on the same day, but at that time passage, we see the ayat coming down in the praise of the shuhada, the martyrs. The famous ayat, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ. Do not even think of those who have been killed in the way of Allah as dead people. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. They are alive and being sustained in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Surah Ali Imran, ayat 169. Another ayat from Surah Baqarah, ayat 154. لَا تَقُولُ لِمَنْ يُقْتَلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ. Those who are killed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't say that they are dead. This Wahhabis should know about this more. They are all Arabs. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ, they are alive. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. You don't have the ability to comprehend. When they sit down there by the Masjid al-Nabi and, you know, tell all other Muslims, what are you doing? What are you doing, ziyarat? You know, he's dead, referring to the grave of Rasulullah. Just read this ayat to them, that you mean to say that Hamza, who is there in Uhud, is alive, but his prophet here is dead. So Hamza has a higher status than Rasulullah. And if that is the case, at least if you believe the shuhada are alive according to the ayat of Quran, then don't stop us for going for the ziyarat of the grave of Hamza, Sayyid al-Shuhada, in Uhud. Now these ayat were coming down. And it's amazing that Ali was the hero of this battle and even the battle before that in Badr. But he felt sad. And he comes to Rasulullah and he says, you know, I wish I also had attained that level of shahadat. All these ayat which are coming down. And at that time, Rasulullah gave him the good news. Good tidings, saying that one day you will surely attain the status of shahadat. And so Rasulullah basically promised him that you will become shaheed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But time passed. A time came when Surah An-Nasr was revealed. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ during the later part of the life of Rasulullah. And this is where, in that gathering after this surah was, Surah An-Nasr was revealed, the Prophet sat down with Ali and started to talk about the future. And he said, you know, I had to fight the non-believers in order to prove that Quran is revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Ali, you will have to fight those who recite the shahadatain. You will fight those who are saying, La ilaha illallah and Muhammadun Rasulullah. But you will have to fight for the true interpretation of the Quran. I had to fight to prove that Quran is revelation. You will have to fight for the right, the correct interpretation of the Quran. And there Ali remembered the promise of Rasulullah. This is Sheikh Mufid in his Amali, narrates this hadith. Well, after this conversation comes to the end, Ali says, Ya Rasulullah, innaka kunta wa'adtani shahada, fasalillah ta'ala an yu'ajjiluha li. O Rasulullah, you had promised me that I will attain shahadat and martyrdom. So I request you that you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten that for me. فَقَالَ Rasulullah says, أَجَلْ قَدْ كُنْتُ وَعَدْتُكَ الشَّحَادَةِ Yes, of course, I had promised you that you will attain shahadat. فَكَيْفَ صَبْرُكَ إِذَا خُضِبَتْ هَذِهِ بِهَذَا How will be your level of sabr and patience when your beard will be dyed with the blood of your head? He pointed towards his beard and his head. The question was, فَكَيْفَ صَبْرُكَ O Ali, how will be your level of patience and sabr when this happens, when you are attacked? Look at the response of Ali. يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَمَّا إِذَا بَيَّنْتَ لِي مَا بَيَّنْتَ O Rasulullah, based on what you have described to me about the future and what is going to happen, فَلَيْسَ بِمَوْطِعِ صَبْرٍ This will not be the moment of being patient and have sabr. وَلَكِنَّهُ مَوْطِنُ بُشْرَى وَشُكْرٍ This will be a moment of being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Ali, you know, becoming shaheed is not a matter of sabr, it is a matter of shukr. I will thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me that status. Salawat upon Nabi Muhammad. And this is how Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, for him, you know, he was not afraid of dying. Even if you look at his armor, he used to only wear the zira, which would cover, you know, the coat, made of chains there, only cover his front. Because Ali was never among those who turned his back to the enemy. So his back was always open. He didn't have to worry about it. Because whenever he faces the enemy, it's the enemy who will flee and run away. And so as far as, you know, this issue of being afraid of death, no, there was no issue of, being afraid. Rather, he considered Shahada to be a time and a moment of shukr, not even a moment of sabr. Salawat. When we talk about Azah of Sayyid al-Shuhada and what happened in Karbala, many times when we talk about the importance of Azadari, mourning for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we say that this was the sunnah of Rasulullah. That even at the birth of Hussein ibn Ali, when Jibreel came down and even told Rasulullah about what will happen to him, in Karbala, Rasulullah cried at that time. So the narrator of that event was Jibreel, the audience was Rasulullah, and Rasulullah was crying. This is majlis, isn't it? You have one person narrating the incidents, the other listening to it and crying. And that we use as an example to say this is the beginning of the majlis of Sayyid al-Shuhada. Let me read to you tonight a very famous statement, which is not read that much. The earlier part is presented many times. What was the first majlis for the zarbat of Amir al-Mu'mineen? The first zikr. Sheikh Saduq, in his book known as Al-Amali, Al-Amali basically means these are the collection of ahadith of different topics. Sheikh Mufid has an Amali, Sheikh Tusi has an Amali, Sheikh Saduq also had that. And he has another book of hadith known as Uyun Akhbar al-Ridha. In both places he narrates this famous sermon of Rasulullah in which he talks about welcoming the month of Ramadan. And we have talked about this khutbah, welcoming the month of Ramadan, the importance of the fasting. Many, many times in many lectures, many Friday khutbahs, I normally do it every month of Ramadan. It's there also in the simple Ramadan guidebook that we have online, which is available for free download. I have the whole khutbah there. At the end of the khutbah, there is a question that Ali asked Rasulullah. This is the famous khutbah where I use these words from that khutbah of Rasulullah, where he says, "Anfasukum fihi tasbih wa nawmukum fihi ibadah." That even when you breathe during the state of fasting, it is like tasbih. And even when you sleep in the state of fasting, it is ibadat. At the end of this khutbah, Amir al-Mu'mineen stood up. And he asked a question, Ya Rasulullah, ma afdalul amal fi hadha al-shahr? He said, Rasulullah, you talked about the importance of fasting and what to do and the levels of good deeds. Can you tell me what is the best of deeds during the month of Ramadan? Rasulullah responds to his question by saying, Ya Abu al-Hasan, afdalul amal fi hadha al-shahr al-wara'in an maharim Allah azza wa jal. O Ali, the best of deeds in this month is to refrain from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. Means not only the things which are haram in the state of fasting, which will make it batil, but even other things. Whether it is the issue of, speaking something which is haram, listening to something which is haram, looking at something which is haram, going to a place which is haram. So the entire, whatever you do, you have to refrain from the maharim of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah responded to this question of Ali about the month of Ramadan. Thumma baka. Then Rasulullah started crying. If anyone was there in the place of Ali, you will be concerned. What did I do? Did I ask a wrong question? Did I say something that which hurt Rasulullah? And when Rasul, the most beloved messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cries, all the anbiya in the heaven also cry. Even the malaika become distressed when Rasulullah cries. And so immediately Amir al-Mu'mineen says, Ya Rasulullah, ma yubkik? O Rasulullah, what happened that you cried? I just asked a simple question. This is where Rasulullah says, Ya Ali, abki lima yustahalla minku fi hadhihi ash-shahr. Ali, I am crying because of what is going to happen to you in this month of Ramadan. This is the first majlis of the Zarbat of Ali ibn Abi Talib, recited by Rasulullah himself. And then he says, Ka'anni bika wa anta tusalli li rabbik. He says, as if I can see you, you are praying in that masjid to your Lord. قَدْ إِمْبَعَثَ عَشْقَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ شَقِيقَ عَاقِرٍ نَاقِطِسْ ثَمُودٍ. Then the most wretched among the human beings will emerge, and he will come. فَضَرَبَكَ ضَرْبَةً. Then he will strike you one strike with his sword. عَلَىٰ قَرْنِكَ, on your forehead. فَخَزَبَ مِنْهَا لَحْيَتَكَ. And your beard will be dyed by the blood coming from your forehead. When Rasulullah described this, the very first question which comes to the mind of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says, Ya Rasulullah, وَذَلِكَ فِي سَلَامَةِ مِنْ دِينِي. He says, O Rasulullah, when that happens, tell me, will I be at peace with my iman and faith, my deen? You know, what is the ultimate goal that we want in this dunya? What are the things that we can say I achieved? Whatever you achieved from the mali dunya will be left behind. The most important thing that we should think about achievement is salamatu min deeni. Will my deen and iman and faith be intact at that last moment? And this is where Rasulullah says, fi salamati min deenik. Of course, yes, Ali. You will be at ease with your deen and faith. And then he says, ya Ali, man qatalaka fad qatalani. O Ali, the person who kills you has actually killed me. Wa man abghadaka faqad abghadani. And the one who hates you has actually hated me. وَمَنْ سَبَّكَ فَقَدْ سَبَّنِي. And whoever curses you has actually cursed me. Why? Look at these words. فَإِنَّكَ مِنِّي كَنَفْسِي بِنَفْسِي رُوحُكَ. Because you in relation to me is like my own soul. رُوحُكَ مِنْ رُوحِي. Your soul is from my soul. وَطِينَتُكَ مِنْ طِينَتِي. And the substance of your nature is from my substance. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى خَلَقَنِي وَإِيَّاكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created me and you. وَاسْتَفَانِي وَإِيَّاكَ. He chose me and he chose you. وَاخْتَارَنِي لِلنُّبُوَّةِ وَاخْتَارَكَ لِلْإِمَامَةِ. He chose me for nubuwat and he chose you for imamat. فَمَنْ أَنْكَرَ إِمَامَتَكَ فَقَدْ أَنْكَرَ نُبُوَّتِي. So whoever rejects your imamat has actually rejected my nubuwat. Then the Prophet says, يَا عَلِي أَنْتَ وَصِيِّي. You are my successor. وَعَبُو وُلْدِي. You are the father of my descendants. وَزَوْجَدُ إِبْنَتِي. You are the husband of my daughter. وَخَلِيفَتِ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي فِي حَيَاتِي وَبَعْدَ مَوْتِي. And you are my khalifa and successor in my community, in my life as well as after my death. أَمْرُكَ أَمْرِي وَنَحْيُكَ نَحْيِي. Whatever you command is my command. Whatever you forbid is my forbiddance. أقسم بالذي بعثني بالنبوة وجعلني خير البرية. I swear in the name of the one who has raised me for nubuwat and made me the best of creation. إنك لهجة الله على خلقه. You are the hujjat of Allah for the people. أمينه على سره. You are the custodian of the secrets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وخليفته على عباده. And you are his khalifa and his successor on this earth among the people. Azadar and Imam Hussain alayhi salam, when we look at the example of Ali, this statement is very important, where it says that I wanted to see salamat of min dini. Even in dealing with the enemies, Amir al-Mu'mineen knew Ibn Muljim. Of course, his knowledge on that level of ghaib cannot be used for judgment and taking actions on the worldly level. Just before this shahadat happened, Imam saw him in the line, waiting for his turn to come to go and receive the monthly allowance which was given from Baytul Mal. And Ali told to one of his companions, "Uridu hayatuhu wa yuridu qatli." I wish him to live, but he is planning for my murder. And this is where that person says, "Why don't you arrest him?" He says, "But what has he done?" Because the ilm of Imam on the level of ghaib is not something you used for your judgments. Even when it comes to the issue, when Imam left the house of Kulsum, you know, when we talk about this justice of Amir al-Mu'mineen, to be a just person when things are okay is one thing. But to maintain that justice when you are going through difficulties in life and challenges, when you have enemies around you, it's not that easy. Even when he sat down as the guest of his daughter Kulsum for the iftar, that last, you know, iftar that Amir al-Mu'mineen had, Kulsum came with bread and salt and milk. Normally, Amir al-Mu'mineen had this habit of eating bread with only one item. Not that he was poor. No, he was poor by choice, not because he didn't have the means. Kulsum, of course, is the daughter. And she thought, at least, you know, let me bring with the salt, you know, the milk. And Amir al-Mu'mineen turns to her and he says, "Don't you know that your father only eats only one item with the bread?" Kulsum wanted to remove the salt from there. But Ali said, "No, take the bowl of milk away from here." He added something which probably Kulsum didn't realize what he was saying. He says, because when a abd of Allah goes to meet his Lord, his belly should not be full. And he spent the whole night, according to the narration of Kulsum, he was doing the ibadat, but once in a while he will go out to the courtyard and look up, and he will say, "Oh Allah, this is the night that I had been promised," what Rasulullah had promised to him. And so he says, "Oh Allah, make this a blessing for me." The time of Fajr was coming close, but looking at his state at that time, Kulsum as a daughter suggested that, "Why don't you send somebody else to lead the namaz? And today stay here." Amir al-Mu'mineen said, "No, I have to go myself." And he leaves the house, goes to the masjid. There were some people already there. And after the adhan at the Fajr time came, when people gathered, Amir al-Mu'mineen started the namaz. He went to the ruku, and after finishing the ruku, he goes into sajda. You know, it is very normal for us that when we get up from sajda, we actually move up fast. But when Amir al-Mu'mineen was getting up from the sajda, at the same time with full force, Ibn Muljim Mal'oon strikes him at that time. And the sword came and hit him right on the area where Umar ibn Abd al-Wud had struck Amir al-Mu'mineen and wounded him in Khandaq. And Amir al-Mu'mineen immediately puts his hand there, but in his lips he uttered the words, Fustu wa Rabbil Kaaba, O the Lord of the Kaaba, I have succeeded. This was the wish of Ali, to die in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ali didn't want to die on the bed. He wanted to become a shaheed, qatil fi sabilillah. And this is where, according to the riwayat that we have, that the angel gave out the cry, laqad in tahaddamat arkanul huda, the pillar of faith has fallen down. Amirul Mu'mineen has been killed. People started gathering in large number, coming more to the masjid. And when Hassan and Hussein saw the state of their father, they basically, you know, hold him. And at that same time, the people who had gone pursuing Ibn Muljim, they were able to catch him and they brought him back. Even in that state of difficulty, pain, and his, you know, the blood was coming down as Rasulullah had predicted to him, that O Ali, your beard will be dyed with the blood of your head. At that time, we see that Amir al-Mu'mineen, when he looked towards Ibn Muljim, he says to Hassan, he says, O my son, look at his eyes. There is fear in there. You know, take care of him and be kind and merciful to him. As long as I'm... If as long as he's your prisoner, make sure you feed him the food that we eat. And then he says, if I am killed, remember ضربتٌ بضربتٍ, in place of one striking of the sword, only hit him once. But if I survive, then I will deal with him whether I forgive him or I take a retaliation against him. This is where Hassan Mujtaba says that, Baba, you are advising me about him who has killed my father. And this is where Ali says, or Hassan, remember you are the grandson of Rahmatul Lil Alameen, who was the mercy for the whole universe. You know, this is Ali for us. They put him in a blanket and then they started taking him towards the house of Amir al-Mu'mineen. But just few steps before he reaches to the house, Amir al-Mu'mineen told Hassan that, tell my companions not to come any more closer, because I don't want the voice of my daughters crying reaching to them. Oh Ali, where were you when in Karbala they were made captives and taken to Kufa? Maybe this was the reason Amir al-Mu'mineen mentioned that. Remember my fairness and justice with my murderer, and be kind to my family and my daughter Zainab and Umm Kulthum. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين سيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. معتم حسين.